The Doyle Show.
I've traveled to Australia 3 times, 15 and a half hours from L.A. to Sydney, nonstop. It's a rather long flight. If I had to do it again, I would love to have the opportunity to sit next to our guest, Anita Finley, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin. Her book spent 16 weeks on the number one position on Amazon.com's Women in Politics list. She's an actress, a blogger, and an EpicTimes.com contributor. Anita, welcome back.
Thank you so much. You see, you've topped yourself. You came up with an even better introduction. Unbelievable.
You're a world...
On a plane flight? That's amazing. Be careful what you wish for, my friend.
Have you been down to Australia?
No, I have not.
I think
what intimidates me from going is the length of the plane flight. My husband and I, when we went on our Mediterranean cruise, we flew to Barcelona, or should I say Barcelona, and that was long enough. Man, when I got off the plane, I was green.
It's a long time to do anything. I mean, I can't sleep 15 and a half hours, much less sit on a plane and watch that little plane on the screen try and make its way across the Pacific. You leave Wednesday night at 10:30, and you get to Australia Friday morning at 6 a.m. Then when you come back, it's only 14 hours because you got a tailwind. You leave at 2:30 in the afternoon, and you get back at 10:30 in the morning on the same day you left. You get back sooner than you left 14 hours later. It kind of messes with you. But if I had to sit on a plane for that length of time, I think sitting next to somebody like you would be a hoot, because you're well-researched, you're fun, you're entertaining, you're approachable, a former Democrat, now independent, who's really doing some great work out there, and the writings that you're posting up at EpicTimes.com, where you're a contributor, is stuff that gets a lot of traction because people really like the way you approach your material.
Well, I appreciate that, and keep coming back. It works if you work it. I'm going to keep writing. So everybody keep reading and visit me at AnitaFinley.com. I'm always around, and I'm launching a new website. When I started this, Jerry, I dipped a toe into the water when I wrote my book, and I was so terrified because this is such a difference. It's such a departure for me from being an actor. But now, after having this website for a year and a half, I'm like, oh, go whole hog. You know, I'm not
right.
Going to stop being a news junkie. I'm in it. I'm there. So let's just keep going. So I'm delighted to write for Epic Times and always to have such great conversations with you. So
thank you. The new piece that you put up there, which is an exclusive, Teens Damaged by Social Media and Internet Porn, Tracing the Source of the Problem. We were talking about the positive aspects of Twitter and Facebook. I'm amazed at what I hear is going on with Twitter and with Facebook and with sexting and with revenge porn. I mean, it just floors me. And the ages of the people that are doing this is even more disturbing.
You're talking about teenagers. You're talking about 11, 12-year-olds, 15, 16, just, having sex and doing things. I mean, a lot of adults wouldn't imagine doing. It's just, and it makes me so sad because I just feel that they're being cheated out of childhood. Look, I've always been liberal socially, and people would call me a feminist, but I think that there's a misapprehension out there about what feminism is. Some people must think that being a feminist means sex at hello, and I think that the opposite is true. You know, it really means having respect for who you are and respect for your body and respect for both men and women, that we are all equals and we have the right to our own opinions and to get to know one another. And the way that social media functions, it's changing the way we interact, and I think part of that is also, as we spoke in our earlier segment, of the destructive element of reality TV and the sensational that we see every single day. You know, kids can only emulate what they see adults doing. And when you see Miley Cyrus twerking and Beyonce, who's such a talented performer, gyrating and throwing her hair about like she's a pole dancer. And this is across the board. They're all behaving like this, and we sensationalize and hypersexualize everyone. Kim Kardashian, who is famous for being famous, I don't know what else she's famous for except a sex tape, millions of people follow her. And I had to write about it because I thought, what kind of a message are we sending? If this is the kind of guidance that kids get out there, it's so disturbing to me, and that they're giving their bodies away this cheaply because they think this is what it takes. blame parents for this. I met a woman, a vendor, at an event I attended recently, and she was saying that she keeps her kids from social media. She doesn't let them have these electronic devices. And then a blogger came to me with the opposite view. He said, nope, I let them see everything, but we educate them about it so that they don't get the wrong idea. So, I don't know which way is the right way to go because I'm not a parent, but I find it so horrifying that parents are under this kind of pressure and kids are under this kind of pressure.
Well, you write in the piece that it's too easy to blame the parents because that's what a lot of people do. I can't believe you'd let your teenage daughter do that. I can't believe that you'd let your kid do this. How could you possibly not know that this was going on? But you say that there's much more than just the blame game for the parents.
I mean, first of all, try and stop them. You know, good luck. I love people who come, I don't want to offend anybody, but the truth is when you say, oh, yeah, I have an abstinence program, good luck telling a teenager, don't do that. You know, it doesn't work that way. Education is the way to go. And I think this is part of the problem. Kids see something. They see an iPhone. They see what so-and-so, they see what their friend Freddie has, and they want the same thing. And we are putting all of this sophisticated technology that they have the ability to take pictures of themselves naked or otherwise, we're giving them all of this sophisticated technology to reach each other in a heartbeat and to send all this intimate information about themselves without the understanding, without the maturity, without the knowledge so that they could take responsibility and understand the ramifications of their actions. Jerry, I'm sure you know this and your listeners know it. Don't ever send anything over the internet that you don't want blasted across the front page of the New York Times.
Absolutely.
I mean, this kind of stuff is forever. Try getting a job if some of this stuff that they post about themselves is out there. Never mind the horrible damage that they may be doing to their self-esteem by, having oral sex or whatever at a very young age with God knows how many guys because you think that's making you popular. I mean, how is this helping anybody? So I think we're working against ourselves when you expect parents to be the only level of control. You know, I think we as citizens also have to speak out and say, you know what, these kinds of mediums also have to exercise and send out some positive content.
When you write in the piece, by the way, Anita Finley is with us on the program, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, all major book retailers, and her latest exclusive up at EpicTimes.com, Teens Damaged by Social Media and Internet Porn, Tracing the Source of the Problem. You write that young girls are aching for attention and popularity on Facebook, that they see this kind of behavior as a necessary evil. As I'm reading your piece, I'm thinking, you know, this is stupid what they're doing. I can't believe that they would do this. The sexting and the nude pictures and the revenge porn. I can't believe the kids today would be doing this. But then I started thinking as I was reading your piece a second time, would I have done this when I was their age if social media as we know it today was available then?
I think that's an excellent point, Jerry, because the fact is we didn't have that technology. This is something that they grew up with. I was with a parent who has a three-year-old. That three-year-old knows how to work an iPad better than I do. So, you know, we're in a very different world now, and it's like the FBI trying to catch up with cybercrime. Unfortunately, the technology, I think, has even gotten ahead of us. And I think with the gifts that we have, these technologies are a great gift as well. But there comes a great responsibility that we have to know how to use them properly. And the other thing I wrote about was that Mayor Bloomberg, you know, who has certainly gotten into a lot of trouble with his big gulp campaigns and telling women they have to breastfeed rather than using baby formula. He's been very invasive. But now someone else in his office has suggested something positive, thereby putting billboards up in subways and so on, trying to appeal to young girls aged 7 to 12 to bolster their self-esteem. And while I think this is a very honorable effort, and this is the first city to undertake such a campaign and do this, I think that's great. But there again, we're not looking at the elephant in the room. And this applies to boys as well as girls, because boys are getting a very unrealistic picture of what girls and women are like. Look at the magazine covers. Look at what we see every day.
Right.
So that's what I'm talking about. We're fighting with ourselves. You know, it's fine to try to do something noble. And I believe their intentions are sincere. You know, I made a contribution, and I'm part of the Brave Girls Want Alliance. Their whole thing was raising $25,000 so they could put a billboard in Times Square talking about, you know, what the brave girls want. They don't want to be seen as some sex object. They want to be able to excel to their excellence. And I think, you know, that's true of all of us. But if we just try to solve these problems in a vacuum and don't strive for greater education to show people, well, wait a minute, you have this tool, what are you going to be doing with it? And, you know, we're talking about cyberbullying. I mean, teens have committed suicide as a result of the kind of hawkbolt revenge stuff. They even passed a law in California. Revenge porn, you know?
Right. Yeah. You know, and you write here in your piece, turning back the clock is impossible. And you also say this is not about censorship, but rather choice. And a lot of people would say, oh, you know, you and Anita, you just want to go back to the days of Ozzy and Harriet. You want to make believe that what's happening today isn't happening today. Well, we've gone from Ozzy and Harriet to, you know, Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon. I don't see that to be a bad thing, but there does have to be something that kind of puts a governor on this open throttle of hypersexualization. I live in Las Vegas. I even see it happening in Las Vegas. And we know what Las Vegas is all about. It's all about gambling. It's about drinking. It's about partying. It's about having a great time. It's about bachelorette parties. It's about coming and letting your hair down, having a great experience, and going home. It's the Thunder Down Under. It's strip joints. It's billboard. You know, it's Las Vegas. But I've even seen this city in the 9 years that I've been here take it to another level where it's really in your face now. We used to know where all that stuff was, and we knew where we could get it, and we knew where, you know, we could find that that kind of action if we were looking for it. But now as you're coming out of the airport, it's like, boom, sex, 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 booze, 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 party, 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 party. That's just a microcosm.
But, Jerry, that's exactly my point. And, you know, for anybody to disabuse anybody of this notion, I'm not at all about censorship, and I don't want to roll back the clock, and I know that we can't. But my whole point, since I write so much about empowerment and I write about media bias, is that we have a responsibility. It's not about stopping content. It's about saying, surely we can put content out there that's about something other than the, you know, the Housewives of Beverly Hills beating each other up, or The Bachelor, or, you know, everybody sort of whoring themselves around. I mean, Surely there is a lot of content that can talk about somebody doing wonderful, you know, animal rescue, or somebody who is loaning their home out, or somebody's building a home for a disabled veteran. Do you know what I mean?
It's
like there's so much out there every day. I meet so many wonderful, beautiful people every day who are striving to help others. And I think that if you put the information in the hands of young kids, you can also put positive information in their hands about all the wonderful things they can do. Let me just, you know, counter what I'm saying with a positive experience. There's a girl who was in the eighth grade. She actually gathered 80,000 signatures to protest 17 magazine because they do nothing but retouch their photos. Can you imagine? What could you possibly need to retouch about a 16, 17-year-old girl? Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
Like, so the message, you know, how do these girls ever have a chance out on the street when you're telling them that even at 17, if you're not airbrushed and you're not plastic surgery, you're not okay? And God bless her. She said, you have to show an unretouched photo every month. I mean, even to show just one. But a 14-year-old girl went out and got 80,000 signatures. I think a story like that should be blasted far and wide, because I think if other kids find out about stuff like this, this also is another thing that helps build their self-esteem, so that we give parents and our fellow citizens a helping hand, and we're not just putting out all sorts of negative tripe, you know, that we get from reality TV.
And it's not just with teens or hypersexualization of teens or expectations. It's even with adults. I mean, I've been to the Playboy Mansion a number of times. You know, and people go, wow, did you see Miss September? Wow, what a knockout. Well, I've seen Miss September, and I've seen Miss June, and I've seen Miss February, and I've seen them without the airbrushing and the retouching and the lighting and the high-dollar photographers. I guarantee you guys listening to me, if you took your girlfriend, your fiancé, your wife, and you put them through the Playboy process, your girlfriend, fiance, or wife could probably be a centerfold and exceed the centerfolds when you see them without having gone through the Playboy process. But then women look at that and go, oh, I have to measure up to Maxim, or I have to measure up to Playboy, or I have to measure up to, you know, some picture like they have on the cover of Vanity Fair of this, you know, woman, this perceived goddess. And a woman looks at that and goes, I can't compete with that. And I think, you know, there also has to be realistic expectations of what even the adults see and how they measure what it is they have relative to what they see.
Well, I think that's a great point too, Jerry, because it's not just kids. Like I said, kids only emulate adults, and men also are just as damaged by this as women are, because guys look at these pictures that are super digitized and airbrushed, and they have a totally unrealistic view of what women look like, of what sex is, and what a relationship is, because they only know what they're sold. They get bombarded by it just as much as women are. And I think that it really does a disservice to all of us, because it makes you feel, you know what I really hate about it? And I live in Hollywood, and you know what that is. The one thing I hate about the glamorized society is it is designed to make you want it. It is designed to make you buy it at your magazine stand, on the TV screen, at the movie theater. And it is also designed, the effect of it is to make you feel a little less. Somehow you're a little less special, you're a little less glamorous, and you have to have the new deodorant, you have to have the new thing that's outside yourself that is somehow going to solve you, fix you, help you, when really that's all an illusion. And the more that we can point to that fact and stick to what is real and advertise and put on television what is real, or at least point the camera at somebody doing a good thing, then at least you have a fair shot at counterbalancing some of the nonsense.
Great stuff. Anita Finley, thanks for joining us on the program. Going to book us a flight to Sydney, Australia?
I'm ready.
All right, 15 and a half hours. I said what we do is we land in Sydney, and then we just catch the next flight back. Then we got 30 hours where we can just sit there, have a cocktail, and some great conversation. Anita Finley, thanks for joining us again on the program. Check out her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, which spent 16 weeks, by the way, number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. You can get it at Amazon.com. Her website, AnitaFinley.com, and her latest exclusive posted up at EpicTimes.com about teens being damaged by social media, tracing the source of the problem. Have a great evening, Anita. We'll do it again soon.
You too. Always a pleasure, Jerry. Have a great night.
You too. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.